Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you'll get a brand new one of them tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, oh, come on, we all know this by now, it's at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man of Three.
All right, Dan, so I'm trying to figure out how to make this stop and go away, and I just don't understand why it won't. So I'm you know, kind of in and out this morning. You know, I get home from work. I do my grocery shopping on Fridays. I come home. I want to go to bed. I, you know, stream a little Mickey Mouse Network as I'm laying down, and I hear that Floyd Mayweather is starting to train with Tyrone Woodley in MMA. Dan, I can't do it anymore. It's got to go away. I don't care what he's doing it for. I don't care why he's doing it. But yeah, he apparently told TMZ this as well, that he, you know, and Woodley is the, I believe he's still the UFC welterweight champion. What I can't figure out is, has, you know, and Mayweather, he seems like a pretty smart guy. I mean, you know, he got himself to 50-0. He does a fantastic job of picking his opponents. Has he not learned anything from watching guys like James Toney, or you could even throw CM Punk in there, who really had no business being in a UFC octagon and just getting their brains beat in? I mean, does he really think he's going to walk into an octagon and be able to beat Conor McGregor, which is, I'm assuming, the plan here?
Well, not only that, I mean, I know his WrestleMania stint was against the Big Show, which didn't really equate to anything, but he wouldn't have stood a chance in WWE.
Right. So, yeah, you know, I mean, by aspects of it, he's a small dude, you know, I mean, which is why boxing worked out perfectly for him. You know, he's 41. I would like to think he doesn't need the money. You know, I know he's ran into, you know, multiple court filings and stuff from different women that I believe he's probably paid off by now. But, you know, just between the Pacquiao and the McGregor fight, he made so much money, he should just not have to do anything for the rest of his life, right?
No, he doesn't have to do anything.
But yeah, like, you know, he himself says that he thinks he'll only need 6 to 8 months to prepare for an MMA debut. You know, I would doubt his first fight out of the gate would be against Conor McGregor, because, well, he would probably die. You know, again, even though McGregor hasn't fought in a while either, obviously it's his sport. But yeah, I don't get it. You know, I mean, is it just that he's addicted to the spotlight and this is his way to stay in it? Cause you know, I mean, this seems like one of the dumbest ideas I've heard. Do to yourself there, Dan?
No, I was wondering the same thing. Can you hear me?
you know, like, yeah, you just kind of fell off there for a minute. It's like, where'd Dan go?
Well, no, I think you're right. He likes the spotlight, but, you know, given the people what they want, then, you know, can he and the UFC come up with an agreement?
I think that would be the tough part. You know, how do you, kind of work with him? I mean, he's used to being, you know, the showcase guy, and while, you know, his name would draw quite a few people, do you think the boxing fans would follow him over for an appearance? I mean, even if, they would probably put him in that main event slot, even if he was just fighting an undercard guy. Would they follow him over at least one time, or do you think it would have to be against a showcase guy like McGregor?
I think it would have to be against a showcase guy, but I still think they'd follow him over.
Yeah, you know, it just seemed, you know, when I heard about it, I was just kind of like, oh, no, please, you know, please don't do this. you're one of the greatest boxers of all time, and, you know, this just always ends badly, one way or the other. I don't get it. I was like, oh, no, please. But I guess we'll have to wait and see what he's doing, huh? Oddly, I did catch another headline, and I just kind of thought, this is just kind of common sense, right? The headline was, CM Punk's been training like crazy for UFC return. Wouldn't you just kind of naturally train like crazy if you were a UFC fighter? I was just kind of baffled by that. So.
Well, not only that, I mean, how do you define that? Because they're training is
right.
By a regiment. They're not going to let you overtrain.
Yeah, and, you know, I actually believe there's a UFC fight just about every weekend, but I believe are they debuting in London or something? Is it this weekend or next weekend or something? I don't even know. You know, I see the the stuff, but yeah, it looks like they're making their way over there with a championship bout. I kind of stopped following as much, but apparently Fabricio Werdum is the heavyweight champion, and he's fighting somebody named Alexander Volkov. Sounds like a cool heel name back in the 80s as a Russian heel, but I couldn't tell you much about either guy. I haven't, like I said, I kind of lost touch with UFC a while ago, but yeah, you know, I saw that, and I kind of wanted to kind of run that by you and kind of get your opinion on it. So, I thought that would be fun.
Yeah, I mean, everyone doubted the boxing match would take place, so I'm sure this will take place too, but something that you are in touch with, and that's baseball. And, you know, the other day you brought up, I wanted to go over a transaction that happened today, but we're official today, but the other day we talked about I believe it was actually yesterday, Justin Grimm being released by the Chicago Cubs. I believe it was a total of, he had six seasons with the team, and or not with them, but between Texas and Chicago. This year, I forget what month it was early February, he settled arbitration for a one-year $2.2 million deal. He was released, like we said, yesterday, and the question you threw out was, what are the Cubs responsible for? And it looks like they're only responsible for $540,983. So if that rests your soul. You know, it was just something you threw out there, and I found the info, so I just kind of throw it at you. Annabelle Sanchez signed a minor league deal with the Braves. It'll be interesting to see if he actually comes up. But the two big ones, Eugenio Suarez signed a 66-year, $66 million extension with the Reds, including a club option for 2025. So they like their guy at third. And then Altuve with a 5-year, $151 million extension with Houston.
Yeah, that's a huge deal for Altuve. I know right away, I think the first article I saw about it mentioned that it's $30.2 million a year, and that's really going to be the start point for Bryce Harper and Manny Machado next year. So, yeah, I mean, they didn't even really look into the contract. They just ran with it for next year right away. But, you know, I mean, if there's a guy out there who deserves it, it's Altuve, right? I mean, he's been a great player for, you know, the past 3 or 4 seasons, and I'm still going to sit here and say that he should have won back-to-back MVPs. You know, he won it last year. He should have won it in 2016, but, you know, there's the Mike Trout bias, regardless of, you know, what the Angels do, or in some cases, even how Mike Trout does, he's going to get MVP votes. You know, he got them last year, and he played, you know, like a whopping 115 or 16 games or something because of his injuries. So, you know, it's just kind of what you live with. But I, you know, now, did I read this right, Dan? Does the extension not kick in until 2020?
The stupid website won't go back.
So, yeah,
on SpotTrack, they have it crossed out, you know, 18 or 19 and 20. So they haven't really updated it yet. So that one I'm not too sure about.
I found here, this, well, maybe you, this should make sense, right? It says, and well, I don't even know what I found this on. Oh, sportingnews.com. Altuve is signed through 2018 with a club option in 2019. The new deal begins in 2020, and his current deal is 4 years, $12.5 million that he signed back in 2013. So according to Sporting News, it looks like the deal doesn't kick in until 2020. So he'll be signed through 2025 with the Astros.
Yeah. You know, they haven't completely updated it, but that looks like it is the deal. He gets $6 million this year, $6.5 million next year, and then jumps to 30.2. And that'll start on his 29 year. So they'll have him through, what is that, 35, 34?
Yeah, 34, 35, depending on, you know, where the, you know, of course, where the birthday falls is, you know, we always know that. So, but yeah, you know, I mean, that's kind of a, you know, an expected deal, wasn't it? I mean, that's kind of what you were, you would expect a guy like him to get?
Mm-hmm. For, like you said, a two, possible two-time MVP.
It should be a two-time MVP. Technically, only one MVP win just last season, but he should have won it in 2016 as well. He should be a back-to-back guy, but God forbid we let Mike Trout go without contending or winning an MVP when he doesn't deserve it, because that was ridiculous. Because that's baseball, so you know, just kind of how it goes.
Well, you know, I mean, a good day for Venezuela as two Venezuelans sign long-term deals with their teams.
Yeah, who else signed? Did you say who else signed? Did I miss that one?
Yeah, it was Eugenio Suarez, third base.
You mentioned. Yeah, you know, interestingly with him, the Reds have a big-time third base prospect, so I wonder if Suarez stays at third or you know, if the prospect moves. I want to say it's Nick Senzel. I think he was on that list I went over yesterday. So it'll be interesting to see how they look at that or how they handle that. I know Suarez has played short before. I don't know if that would be a move. You know, as you get older, you normally don't go back to shortstop, but maybe they could do that. You know, that could be an interesting thing there. I don't know how far, you know, Senzel is away from being ready, or if we'll, you know, if we'll see him this year or whatever, you know, it kind of works out. But I don't know much, you know, don't know a ton about him. It does say here he's 22, and where'd he play last year? He split time between high A and double A. So, yeah, you got to figure he's a couple seasons away, you know, depending on where he starts out this year. So, but yeah, yeah, you know,
I think it was a six-year, 66, so that puts him at $11 million. And I mean, per year, he's given you 500 plus at bats over the last two seasons, you know, just around 150 hits. He's getting 20 plus home runs, you know, 75 plus RBIs. He walks. He is a strikeout guy, but, you know, I think if he can get his batting average up to maybe 275 and continue to do what he's doing in 3 years, if they need to move him, he might be a great value for a contending team at $11 million a year for 3 years.
So, yeah, and then, you know, in our, you know, other wonderful, you know, kind of fantasy stuff, Shohei Ohtani went back to the mound today, Dan, and proceeded to give up 7 runs over an inning and a third against the Rockies. So, you know, I don't know. This guy is really, really struggled. You know, I mean, pretty much on the Rockies, Colorado. So,
you know, they got some bats.
So yeah, I was trying to look and see. I was hoping they had his spring numbers here, but of course the link didn't take me to his spring numbers because I've been wondering, you know, how he's kind of done as a. You know, overall, because I don't think he's pitched. I thought I saw they said he hadn't pitched since February 24th. So let's see. I know this will give me his spring numbers here. Let's see where they go. Yeah, he's hitting 100 as a batter. He's 2 for 20. So let's see. Do they have a? And then as a pitcher, he. Oh yeah. Well, they only have him with that 1 1/3 inning, so they must not have updated today's. Before today, he had 1 1/3 inning, and he had given up a home run. He had a 6.75 ERA. So now he's got 2 2/3 innings, and he's given up 8 earned runs. So yeah, I don't know how to handle that, Dan. I mean, it's still just a couple outings. Should we be concerned? Should they be concerned? I don't think you and I should be concerned.
I think they may do have for some concern, but according to Schomburg's logic, you don't want to win a whole lot in spring training, so this is a good sign, right?
The not winning, I know, you know, a lot of guys do go that route. You know, you don't want to see your team win, but I also don't think you want to see your guys get lit up. So... You know, that could be a big issue there.
Yeah, well, I mean, on the plus side, he's only 23.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, I just, yeah, you know, the more I look at it, it's kind of like, you know, and I know they got him on a, you know, it's an incredibly low money deal because of the situation. You know, that he technically, you know, if he would have waited another year, somebody would have been paying this guy hundreds of millions of dollars. But it's, you know, it's still kind of the idea that I, you know, there's been so much built up into this guy, you know, you got to kind of start wondering when do you start going, oh, okay, wait. So. You know, Dan, and then back when, you know, good old Jake Arrieta was still on the free agent market, you know, the Washington Nationals were one of the teams that were, you know, they were very interested in him, but they, you know, they didn't like the price tag like a lot of teams didn't. And, you know, it had been looking like they were going to add one more starter, and today they finally did. They decided to sign Jeremy Hellickson. To a, you know, he got a minor league deal. I don't know if he got the official invite spring training, but you know, he had some success with the Phillies for a couple years. You know, they they ended up moving him over to the Orioles. That was it. I couldn't remember which team he went to last year. They dealt him to the Orioles at the trade deadline. You know, I mean, he's a former Rookie of the Year. He's only, 30 years old. I think he'll be 31. When do they have it? In April. So, yeah, early April. So he'll be 31 as soon as the season starts. You know, this is a pretty solid, probably four or five guy in that rotation. You figure it's Scherzer, Strasburg, Gio, and then, one of the rookie, one of the young guys, be it A.J. Cole or Eric Fetty, and then Hellickson, when he's ready, takes the five spot.
He should.
The article I had didn't have any money announced with it. So let's see. Oh, you know what's interesting? I forgot all about Tanner Roark. So he'll probably have a rotation spot as well. So I guess it would be AJ Cole or Eric Fetty probably holds down the spot until Hellickson's ready. Because I couldn't see signing him to use him out of the bullpen. Could you?
No.
If your guy gets off to a hot start, right, then you don't have much choice.
Yeah, but did you say he? I think you're right. I think he could come out of the bullpen unless they go the route of a six-man rotation.
Yeah, that's always a possibility. That was, nobody mentioned that or said that, so maybe that's something they're looking to do. A veteran like that, a veteran ad like this is always a decent thing, right? I mean, you get the guy who's, kind of been through it. And I mean, he was a number one for the Phillies. So getting to add him, as really a back of the rotation guy is a pretty good move, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's better than your guy. What was his name? The one the Cubs signed, probably still paying for.
Edwin Jackson, he was awesome.
Yes.
Oh, what are you talking about? He's still pitching. He's with the Nationals. He may end up in their bullpen. So he wasn't projected as a starter. So that's not gonna happen there. He was just gonna fill in as a bullpen guy. So.
At this point,
how long does it take a guy to get ready?
From what I heard, they only need about 3 weeks. So.
Oh, okay. So you figure that puts him, what, about a week into the season? So.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's, for the complaints or whatever, I mean, it's a long season. It's a marathon, not a sprint. So I don't really think there needs to be a rush to get any of these guys who signed late in, with the exception of maybe Jake Arrieta. But, with all his yoga and all that good stuff, he should be ready to go. Especially, more so his attitude, he should be ready to go tomorrow.
Yeah, well, speaking of that, there's another pretty big reason for the Phillies to kind of get Jake Arrieta moving. They announced today that they will be without Jared Eichhoff for approximately 6 to 8 weeks because of a strained right lat muscle that they describe as being in the area behind his shoulder.
That's not good.
So, he will start the year on the DL, of course. Now, last year, he led the team in ERA and starts. Oh, excuse me, that was 2016. Last year, he was on the disabled list for a little bit, only made 24 starts. So, yeah, it's looking at, back-to-back trips here to the DL for Eichhoff. The article here implies that the Phillies will now become very interested in Alex Cobb. Do you see them making another move like that after paying all that money for Arrieta?
I think they could, but they might not spend that much of what he wants. Figure maybe 15 years.
They do have some guys, obviously, we know about Arrieta. Aaron Nola is, you know, a young, you know, well, they're all young here in the Phillies rotation, but, you know, he's been, you know, an up-and-coming guy. You know, they got Nick Pivetta. We've all kind of wondered what Vincent Velasquez is going to be if he's healthy. So, you know, they have four solid guys there while Eichhoff recovers, and then they have their, you know, there are other prospects, like the guys listed here. They have Zach Eflin, Ben Lively, Mark Leiter Jr., and Tom Eshelman, you know, who could easily fill the role until Eichhoff comes back. I guess it just depends if they feel like they need Cobb to contend. Would that be the question there?
Yeah, you're right. I did forget about Velasquez, but I mean, he should be back and healthy and ready to go last year. I mean, I know it was it April, early May, that, you know, they were up against the Cubs, and that was last season, I believe. Just went out there for what, an inning in the third or two innings maybe, and just couldn't go back out. And you could tell by how upset he was that obviously it wasn't anything. Well, it wasn't anything easy, I guess you could say, to come back from. I know he was out for a while, so he should be ready to go. I was trying to lost for my words.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, he was a guy who was, you know, pretty interesting, you know, a couple seasons ago. You know, there was some, you know, interest there with him, the way the team had played. And, you know, I know he racked up some big strikeout totals. But yeah, I don't even remember what the injury was last year. Do you remember what he ended up doing?
Was it elbow? It was either an elbow or shoulder. I don't remember. I just remember he kind of, I believe it was after, you know, someone got a hit off of him or he was, you know, it was whatever, the ball was, it went into play and the next batter he went to go and that was it. He took a step off the mound and everything slowed down and that was the last we've seen of him. And, you know, again, you know, it was against my team, so to speak, the Cubbies, but I still like to see everybody succeed as best as they can. And it just kind of sucked to see that kid kind of go short.
So, yeah, you know, it limited him, you know, after, you know, like we said, 2016, where he showed some interesting signs. He made 24 starts. He was 8-6. Last year, it limited him to just 15 starts, and he was 2-7 with an ERA over 5. You know, this spring, he's better. He's made 3 appearances, 7 2/3 innings, and the ERA is 3.52. So, you know, he looks better. 7 strikeouts. You know, that was the thing. He was a big strikeout guy. So, you know, you wonder if he'll, you know, he'll continue to pick that up again. But yeah, he's definitely, you know, an interesting guy to look at. You know, I know some of the other guys, you know, they made starts. I don't know, you know, like Lively made 15 starts as well. And, you know, he was okay, 4-7 with a 2.26 ERA. That's a little high for the National League, but, you know, Leiter did a little bit of both. You know, he ended up appearing in 27 games. Eflin made 11 starts, but didn't have a lot of success. He was 1-5 with a 6.16 ERA. He's only 23, though, so, you know, there's obviously plenty of time for him to kind of bounce back. I know they did, they brought in Drew Hutchinson as a non-roster invitee. And, you know, the odd thing about him was he actually won 13 games with Toronto in 2015. And I'm guessing the offense really carried him because he was 13-5 with a 5.57 ERA.
Well, that was your,
you know, last year.
Insane.
Yeah, they were odd. So, yeah, last year he, it looks like he spent most of his time and must have been in the minors. He only pitched in 9 major league games for the Blue Jays and the Pirates. So the Blue Jays actually ended up releasing him. But yeah, you don't know if, you know, I maybe there's something, you know, if he can get that form back of winning games, maybe there's something there they could, you know, they could work out. Yeah, he pitched, looks like he spent most of his time in the Pirates minor league last year, 28 games, 26 starts. He was 9-9, but the ERA was a really respectable 3.56. You know, maybe he'll, he's a guy they'll look at to fill a little role. You know, he's a little older. He's 27, you know, does have the experience depending on how it's looking like they're going to go. But I did see the Phillies GM, and I'm drawing a blank. I'm sorry. I forgot what his name was. He mentioned he believes they're done making offseason moves. So he's not really in the Alex Cobb, you know, signing right there. So,
well,
you know, maybe that's,
do you think it would make them seem a little desperate?
You know, yeah, it's yeah, you know, you could look at it that way. You know, like I said, I think my big thing for them is, you know, if they were to bring him in and pay that price, because, you know, he's gonna, you know, I know he's came down from his $20 million a little bit, but still, if you're stuck at, you know, say you get him in for 16.5 or 17, if they were to make that move, they have to believe they're a contender, right? I mean, you can't bring this guy in your rebuild mode, right? Is that possible? I mean, unless you're signing him long term.
I mean, they definitely have the money to spend. So, I mean, that wouldn't be an issue. But, yeah, I think you're right. They would have to believe that they're contending for something. And, you know, I can't see. Sorry, I'm being distracted. You know, with the five teams in that division, you've got to figure that. I don't know. Just kind of take over, Big Jack. I got lost.
So, yeah. Well, you know, Cobb is 30. So, you know, again, he would be a veteran add there. You know, what is a... How old is Arrieta? Is he 32 or 33? Do you know off the top
32.
Of your head there?
I believe it was 32.
So, yeah, you know, then you're looking at, you know, the rest of this rotation. You know, Nola and Pivetta are both 24. Lively and Velasquez are both 25. So, you know, it would be a... You know, another, it would be a veteran ad, which would be interesting, but that could also be where Hutchinson plugs in. You know, I know he doesn't have the numbers that Cobb does, but I you know, you still can't sell me on paying Alex Cobb that kind of money. It just, you know, it just doesn't work for me. You know, I don't know, you know, is it just me? I mean, does that scare anybody else off, or am I just that guy?
I mean, I'm not really behind the guy that all that great, but, you know, like you said, I think it would, if they were to take him, they would be in that boat where they would think they're contending. 'Cause if you think about it, it's the Mets just totally fall apart like they did last year, they have a great opportunity to kind of bump themselves into second place. And if they get enough wins, they can kind of run into the wild card. Because, I mean, let's be honest, the Marlins are out of it. They're not doing anything. And then the Braves, I think they're going to play well. I don't think they're going to be in a position to really move higher than the 3-4 spot.
So, yeah, it's definitely an you know, interesting. I mean, you know, when you kind of look at it, I mean, hey, we're all, you know, playing for second base or second place. Boy, I'm all over the place with my words today. So yeah, I'm not quite sure, you know, if that kind of, I mean, does Alex Cobb really put him in the wild card conversation? I'm not sure I buy that one, but you know, I mean, I guess you gotta sell it somehow, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, and then the other injury here, Dan, this is another one that really, you know, could affect the way our fantasy drafts go. Torrey Lovello commented that with the groin injury, there's actually a chance that Zach Greinke misses his opening day start. Now, obviously, one start wouldn't be a big deal. You know, if this lingers, though, this becomes a problem. Now, obviously, lucky enough, we have a couple weeks to look at this before we have to make any type of fantasy decision for us, because you know that's how it goes. It's all about fantasy. But concerned, not concerned. How you feeling about this?
A little concerned. But it could drop him down in the board where maybe he won't get drafted as high and you can sneak him in later.
Yeah, you know, I guess depending on how it does play out, you might be able to, you know, to be like, hey, let's see if he'll fall a little bit and you can grab him. Because, I mean, you got to figure, I mean, say you only get 28 or 29 starts out of Zach Greinke, that's still better than getting 32 out of some guys, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't think missing a couple of starts will kill him, or you, if you have him on your team.
Yeah, you know, and I know, you know, maybe you get a little behind early, but I'm sure you could probably, you know, you could probably make it up as long as he stays healthy and, you know, all that stuff. This isn't one of those things that, you know, linger, which is always kind of a, you know, kind of a fear you got to worry about, isn't it? Have you had a hamstring injury before?
I don't remember. Had a lot.
I never had a hamstring. I had a groin, which was terrible, but I never had a hamstring. So
I had really bad cramps in the hamstring. I don't know if I completely pulled it.
Yeah, but I think we all had some fun with that. I'm quite sure, but. Yeah, just, you know, the groin was bad enough. I hope the hamstring isn't anything like that. That would be a, you know, just one of those terrible, terrible things for us. So I had to look at something here because I caught this article, Dan. What did they title it as? Baseball gems that are still available in late rounds of MLB fantasy drafts. These are, of course, the articles that I kind of like to chuckle at because obviously they're not set up for 20-team leagues. You know, here I'll throw the names at you, Dan. And these are all guys that are going to go in our league. They do actually start with Alex Cobb, so that's kind of interesting. They throw Jonathan Villar of the Brewers in here, Charlie Morton with the Astros. Matt Kemp is on this list, Dan. They're the top four guys that are late round fantasy gems. How big is your league, Dan, if these guys are late round fantasy gems? What do you figure? 12 teams, maybe 10, 12 teams?
Well, I mean, Cobb can't really be a gem if he doesn't have a team to play for.
Right. Yeah.
But
need the job first. So.
But yeah, I don't, you know, they're definitely going in our league, but I don't, it's got to be a small league.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, a guy like Morton isn't going to go in a small league unless you're, you know, you know something, you know, or you're willing to take a chance because he's probably the four or five starter on the Astros. I don't know if, you know, if you're in an 8 or 10 team league, I don't think you actually get that deep on a guy. So, you know, we'll have to see how that goes. But Matt Kemp, I mean, he's been playing real well in spring training. I mean, he's a name you kind of know. You know, I know there's a lot of questions, but you know, there, you know, a lot of guys are going to take a chance on Matt Kemp, aren't they?
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I just kind of found that weird. But yeah, I wanted to to change up on you here, Dan, because I did not see this, and I actually missed the highlight this morning. I was wondering if you happened to manage to come across this, but LeBron James and Tyronn Lue, who of course is the Cavaliers head coach, had what was described as a heated exchange last night while they were on the bench. Oddly, I haven't been able to catch highlights of this or anything. I heard a little bit of it this morning while I was walking in. Did you catch highlights or happen to pick up about anything that it could have been about? I mean, besides the fact that they got beat by Portland?
No, first I'm hearing about it. You should have emailed me this morning. I would have looked it up because there was nothing being about it. So.
I'm looking here to see if they actually describe anything. It just says, got into a heated argument on the bench after James sat down to take a breather, shouted back and forth after James took an ill-advised shot as Lue appeared to be displeased with the Stars' decision-making on offense. So, for a while there, Dan, it was all rosy. Remember, everybody was on the Cavs bandwagon after the trade going into the All-Star break, and, you know, everything was hunky-dory. Well, they've now lost 5 of their last 8. And you got to kind of wonder, you know, that bad defense is back. That was the problem before. So, I don't know, you know, if or how. I mean, is this a, you know, A, are they still the best team in the East? And are they, do you consider them a championship team?
Well, I mean, LeBron's on it, so you have to, right? That's the rule.
Well, that's what most people can, you know, think. But obviously, you know, I would kind of like to know what you're thinking there. So
I don't know. I mean, with the season kind of going to be up soon, I just kind of tuned out with the Bulls being crappy. And, you know, it just seems like everyone's going through the motions right now. So, I mean, there's definitely going to be some frustration between coach and player, but Lou's got to be careful. Because even though LeBron was behind getting him the job, he can also be behind him either losing the job or, you know, LeBron going to Philly like everyone thinks, or like we think to L.A. to go, you know, be at home.
Philly or L.A. or Houston, you know, there's always those fun, you know, Houston rumors, so... You know, you just never, you know, you just never know. But yeah, I thought it was interesting. Like I said, I was disappointed. I actually was looking for, you know, the Mickey Mouse Network has that NBA show they call The Jump, and I thought for sure that would be the lead story. And I went to turn it on, and they had a tennis match on, so I didn't get to kind of, you know, actually get to see it today. I know they've shuffled a lot of their programming. I guess they didn't want to compete against the NCAA tournament. So a lot of their regular stuff isn't on like normal. And sure enough, I missed it. So I'm hoping, you know, we'll have to see if I'm sure maybe I'll pick it up tonight somewhere down the road. Now, you know, the one thing I did hear when I kind of caught this, it might have been Stephen A. Smith that I heard kind of rambling about this. He said it was good that Lou stood up for himself. Do you see that as a, you know, that way?
Yeah, I mean,
you know, just kind of not steamrolled.
Well, you don't want to get walked all over every time like Allen Iverson did to him back in the day. And, you know, it always seems that way with LeBron. You know, even though this last season was given the coach the credit, you know, we've seen him in the circles and the timeouts actually being the one trying to call the plays and put things together. So you've got to define your role on the team. And it's been, this is his third season as the coach?
Yeah, you know, two, I guess 2.5 you would call it, because he took over.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it's about time, right? And if,
so, yeah,
for all intents and purposes, if LeBron does leave next year, you know, who's going to control this team? And that would be him. So he needs to step it up.
So, yeah, it's, you know, definitely, I mean, he's got a, you know, I thought it was probably a positive that he showed that, you know, he is the coach. You know, he's the boss. So, you know, again, the, you know, the difficult part, of course, if LeBron stays, it may cost him his job. You know, LeBron may decide, okay, I've had enough of this guy. He's going to be like that. It's time for him to go. But I honestly, you know, the more I look at it and everything, I just don't think LeBron is staying there. You know, I think it would be a really big shock if he ends up in Cleveland.
Well, I mean, I think we're, once we get to the playoffs and we'll see what his attitude is, so to speak, because, I mean, let's be honest, that series against the Spurs, was it the Spurs that beat him when they should have won that third one in Miami? I mean, that is like forever burned into my brain, into my vision, the way he acted, and then to just take off on Pat Riley and all that. So, I mean, while he's done a lot of great, and, you know, if you don't like him, you're just a hater, as the kids say. But, I mean, he's, when it comes down to it, if he's in an opt-out year or whatever you want to call it, you can't really trust him to stay with you. He may lead you to believe he's going to, but he's pulled the rug out from underneath you. But that's kind of the NBA, though, isn't it?
Nowadays it is, yeah. That's really, you know, the way things go, and I'm a little surprised the Heat and their fans aren't a little more bitter with LeBron. I mean, I know he got you a couple titles there, but yeah, you know, I mean, you know, he led them on, and I mean, you know, told them who he wanted drafted, and they drafted the guy, you know, and then he left. So, you know, that was kind of, I guess you'd say crappy, you know, would be the way, you know, way to look at it. But yeah, you know, it's just, you know, I mean, even like in this, you know, in this situation, I mean, the Cavaliers are so buried in luxury tax hell that if he walks away from them, this team is going to be terrible.
What do you mean? They have J.R. Smith for 2 more years.
Yeah. And sadly, he may be the best player out there, you know, on their team. So, you know what I mean? I know they went out and they did pick up some help, you know, but I don't know, you know, like what Rodney Hood's contract is, and I'm drawing a blank on the name of the other. Larry Nance Jr. You know, I don't know their contract situation. I think Hood is only signed for this year. So yeah, I mean, it could just be a ridiculous, you know, Cleveland back in the lottery situation.
No, I don't think. Well, possibly, but I don't think they would go that bad in 1 year.
Well, you know, I mean, who are there other, you know, players that you trust besides LeBron?
I mean, the East is just, there's that, what is it, like 6 teams that are just bad? So.
Yeah, well, come on, the Bulls are improving.
That's what I mean.
So.
But you know what I mean? I don't think they could drop that far down the board. But it is interesting to see, you know, kind of the Celtics and Toronto really kind of taking the top 2 spots, and Cleveland not being securely number 1.
Yeah, it's been one of the, you know, more interesting years in the East there. Believe it or not, I actually got it right. Rodney Hood is a free agent after this year, but, you know, I don't know why they don't have LeBron on this list. Yeah, the only free agents are Rodney Hood, Jeff Green, and then Jose Calderon. You know, of course, with LeBron added to this list. So, you know, we'll have to have to see how it goes. But yeah, I don't know. It's an odd situation. But while we're on the NBA, Dan, I was wondering, is it time to worry about the Warriors? You know, Steph Curry is, you know, dinged up. He's been dealing with that ankle for quite a while now. It's being reported that tonight that Kevin Durant won't play because he has a rib injury. Is all the basketball finally catching up to these guys? I mean, obviously they've been playing deep into the playoffs for the past, what, three seasons? You know, is this piling on, or, you know, are the injuries finally getting to them? And, you know, this is the year they break down and we get a, you know, everybody seems to like Houston. Are the Rockets going to be able to get past them?
You mentioned they're playing too much, so it's got to be Tibbs' fault, right?
Yes, it would be. So,
you know, it's Kerr's fault. But, I think if they're going to contend, this might be the last season where they are the for sure lock in the finals. And not only that, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm sure in the Bay Area they're still – obviously the number one team because it's the Bay Area, but I think nationally everyone's kind of over the Cleveland and Golden State thing.
Yeah.
And it almost, I think these two teams are almost turned into the Patriots, where you're going to get a lot more people rooting against them just because they're tired of seeing them in the finals. And then you'll have the Uncle Bobs going, well, you don't like to see greatness? I love to see greatness. Yeah,
well, you know, I'm talking about Warrior injuries. I forgot to mention the fact that Klay Thompson has a fractured right thumb with the thumb on his shooting hand. So he, you know, he's going to miss quite a few, you know, games as well. So I think they're going tonight without three All-Stars, because I don't know if it's been announced if Curry is going to play tonight either.
Are they still in first, second?
They are, let me double check that for you here, but I believe they are second in the West right now, but I don't know. Let me get the official standings here so I don't screw it up, because, you know, I know I'm not the biggest NBA follower here, and make sure we get the proper thing. Oh, it must be that time of night, Dan. My internet is starting to slow down. Thanks to good old AT&T for slowing me down here when I wanted to get to something right away. So, why do they? They hate me, Dan, don't they? They're out AT&T, and AT&T is out to get me. All right, we have, the Rockets are currently two games ahead of the Warriors in the standings.
I mean, it's still anyone's division, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely is still close. But, yeah, I'm just kind of, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, because you figure what they, you know, you play the 82-game season, and I know guys get plenty of rest nowadays. It's not like, you know, I couldn't even tell you if anybody has actually played every game their team has had this season. I would be surprised if somebody has. But yeah, you know, then going deep into the playoffs all these years, you know, I know obviously there's a lot of free time now, and you know, they NBA has done everything they could to spread it out. But you know, Steph has only played 50 games this year. Durant only appeared in 60. Even Draymond Green has missed some games at 50. You know, 59 games. You know, I mean, is it just, you know, again, like, you know, like I was saying, you think the wear and tear is catching up to them? You know, I mean, obviously it's still a lot of travel and all the stuff that goes with it.
I mean, it could catch up, but you know, that's what you signed up for. So you got to fight through it or retire.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it is part of the deal, but you know, we heard these guys whine about it how often now. So,
and not to mention the Cavs and the Warriors both had sweeps in their NBA Finals stuff or playoffs. So they had ample time to, you know, they have like a week off in between each series almost. I mean, I don't know what they're doing, if they're back home and, you know, shooting around, doing practice, whatever. But, you know, that's got to make it drag on even more. And which emphasizes more the fact that having those eight teams in the playoffs just really doesn't really benefit the league or benefit. You know, maybe it benefits the pockets of the owners, but it really doesn't benefit the game overall.
Yeah, I was just kind of thinking, like I said, I mean, is it time to, you know, start looking a little concerned? I mean, you know, Houston has been very good. You know, obviously, I think, a healthy Warriors team beats them. I just don't know if we're going to get a healthy Warriors team.
Yeah. It's mid-March. What do we got? About a month left. So this is the time where you start sitting the guys and not worry so much about your standings as long as you're in that race to hunt, you know, to kind of be a higher seed to get that home court advantage, which I totally forget how that works, seeing as we really don't discuss the divisions.
Yeah, that's because, you know, in reality, the divisions don't even matter anymore. Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm trying to remember if they still give the division winners the higher spots. You know, the division winners used to get the guaranteed top seeds, but I don't remember if they even do that anymore. So, yeah, I was trying to look here and see, but yeah, I don't know. I don't even see anything on it. So yeah, who knows what they actually do, but
as long as Cleveland has a home court advantage, that's all anyone cares about.
Yeah, well, they probably won't get that. So, you know, that, you know, this, you know, do you think that matters to those guys? I know we're running up on time here, but, do you think they care if they get home court, you know, LeBron and Steph or, you know, those type of superstars?
I think it makes a difference because there's that adage that you get the calls that you're not going to get when you're on the road.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's been true. You know, I've watched a handful of Cavs games with Katie's nephew, my wife's nephew. LeBron doesn't get the call out of the state, but when he's in Cleveland, you know, someone blows on him and he's three, you know, technical.
All right, well, the music means it's time for Dan and I to roll out of here, but I will be back Sunday at 10 a.m. with Mr. Fantasy for 2 hours of wonderful sports talk. Dan returns on Monday. But you know what to do while we're away. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Look for that new blog popping up tomorrow morning. Link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget about that Twitter feed at Sportstime Radio. You can find Dan and I at Twitter if you want to look us up as well. As always, a big thanks for listening live. But remember, you can go listen to the podcast anytime you want at tunein.com.